And if you're lucky enough to be listening to this right now, this is the pre-show warm-up. It's kind of like in football where we sit around and stretch. So, you don't think that's a good analogy?
No, I think it's a fine analogy. If in my case, stretching was the coach telling you to do things you'd never done before and then go, no, wait, do this other thing instead. Well, what do you want? Oh,
And
no, what did I do? No! Look, oh crap, what did I do?
what happened?
Well, it
Okay,
shattered. We're
because I
on.
was talking to you, something terrible happened.
The world ended. It's
No, but the
over.
entire podcast folder on my laptop just disappeared. It's been this week for me, and I have no idea where it's gone.
Well,
I
right now.
accidentally moved it.
Oh, we'll find it. All right.
Okay, hang on. Let me just look. Should find it fairly quickly. Maybe. My computer's been taken over by demons.
Are they small demons?
No, not this week they haven't been.
Okay.
None of my programs are working. I can't print anything.
Are you sure you didn't make a techno mage mad before he goes out to the outer rim?
What I'm worried, because something popped up. I had a pop-up when I hit the thing with the podcast folder. But I couldn't see it because Zoom kept saying, you have to move this window away from the
You're
open
fine.
window. Yeah, but I don't know where it went. It's not where it was.
Okay, we'll go ahead and hit the opening
Okay.
theme
I
because
can't because it's in that folder. What are you not getting about that? Okay, wait, I found it. This is what I'm saying. I can't do any of this. Okay, here we go. Here goes the show open.
gee.
All right, someone's on the set. Here we go. In five, four, three. And then it didn't open.
Your countdowns are about as good as NASA's
Can you
nowadays.
hear that?
Silent scan.
Man.
You can't hear it?
Not at all.
Zoom is not cooperating with me. All right, share that screen. Where'd my thing go? There it is. All right, here we go. You hear it?
Yes.
Silent scan. Silent scan.
Defiance.
Bombs and bits.
You can't control us.
Bombs and
a frightening dystopia.
Bombs and bits.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Open your eyes.
Bombs and
an alternate reality. We begin as wanderers, and we are wanderers still.
Welcome to the fifth live edition of Bombs and Bants and Wednesday Rants. As always, I am your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark.
Hey, guys.
And the missus.
Don't! That's all I'm saying right now.
You're having a day, aren't you?
Oh my God, and now it started
Silent
again.
scan.
It's been that kind of week.
Well, you couldn't have picked a better night for it because tonight's theme is a dozen ways to end civilization.
It feels like it.
And most of them emanate from you
My laptop, yes.
interfacing with technology.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'd like to start off by saying that the last 2 weeks have convinced me we should start our own cult. And I very, very humbly, I think we should call it Wilderism, the post-millennial doomsday cult with a difference. I don't know what the difference is, but
We care.
we care. That would be the
Gay!
Oh. So, how are you doing tonight, Mark?
Oh, doing fine. Staying late at the office, but
Was it productive or was it just, yeah?
It's been a, the last week's been, yeah.
You know, and I keep seeing that. It's like you are running on a treadmill and it keeps going faster and you go, well, when does it slow down? And the answer appears to be, you know, somewhere close to never. So have you worked through your technical issues, the missus?
Oh, I think so. Maybe as much as I can.
Okay. So again, tonight's theme, A Dozen Ways to End Civilization. I started off with something less that I emailed out to my wonderful co-hosts. And then I added a couple, and then Ricky added one this morning, because this is fortunately what I blogged about last night. Today was when it showed up. And I just note that, you know, getting to success often requires, there's a single path. I mean, Jeff Bezos had to do everything right to be a multi-billionaire, and then he could goof it up with that person he's dating. But anyway,
is he still dating that person?
Yeah, I don't. Hold on. It's a family blog. Let's not opine too much about
that. That's a euphemism.
Yeah. But failure isn't that way. I mean, often one bad thing happening can bring down the whole house, and it's called cascading failure. And, you know, I outlined about 11 things. And I don't know which one of them is worse. I mean, let's look at COVID and let's look at some of the things that COVID has led to. I mean, who would have ever thought that Australia would be a prison? Oh, wait, sorry. Too soon? But seriously, I mean, Australia has now got a lockdown that's on so bad that if you try and go camping with just your family, you know, the people you would be in the house with, out in the wilderness, miles from anyone else, they'll use drones to find you and arrest you.
That's like that guy who was surfing, you know, early in 2020. Wasn't that in California or was it on the East Coast? Does it matter? They're the same, right?
Yes.
Surfing. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say Australia, in my view, is just sort of a cautionary tale of what happens when you give up your firearms.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, do you think they would be passing laws in the span of 24 hours? A brand new law just shows up on the books and says, "Oi, mate." Oh, wait, that's written. Oi, mate. If you didn't open up your iPhone, we'll go out and we'll put you in prison. Oh, wait, we're still in Australia. But yes, I mean, the lockdown in Australia has been sudden and dramatic. Likewise with Canada. And that's the thing that I don't see, because in my daily life, it's like these people are living on another alien planet. I was in the office today and I sneezed, and you know what happened? Someone said, "Bless you."
I was going to say people dived under their desks.
Yes. No. Someone just said, "Bless you." That was it.
Coronavirus.
So let's talk a little bit about COVID. You know, what do we see going on with COVID? I mean, how close is that to being a civilization ender? And let's not try and mix up the causes with the effects. Just talk about whatever.
Well, I mean, for one thing, thanks to the COVID lockdowns, we have seen economies shrink. We've seen, California is basically the breadbasket of most of the United States, especially for fruits and vegetables. You know, I think that's leading to some of the shortages we're seeing on shelves. Obviously, it's disrupted trade, which has meant shortages of all sorts of other things, including chips.
But you're heading towards the knock-on effects. How bad do you think COVID is going to be? Is COVID itself, as a disease, not its downstream impacts, but COVID itself, is that going to bring us down?
COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, the disease itself won't. It'll be it's the reaction to the disease that's bringing us down.
Yeah, and in that case, I think it's COVID itself has been the linchpin that has led all of these other bad things out of Pandora's box.
It has let out everyone's, and by everyone's, I mean mostly Democrats, their inner authoritarians.
Yes. We have ways of seeing your papers, please. And
execute Order 66.
They've just been waiting for this.
You have been. There you go. The latest I heard from Pfizer tonight, ready for this one? They are in phase 3 trials of a twice daily pill to be part of your anti-COVID precautions. Seriously. It's for non-hospitalized, low-risk adults.
That needed something.
Not making this up.
I know.
So it's a booster shot of the week. Plus, hey, 2 pills a day.
But get it. It's, I'm sure it's perfectly safe.
And I'd read recently that for some of these less wealthy nations, the drug companies are demanding collateral from the countries in the form of, you know, government-owned property like military bases and so forth before they'll, you know, essentially extend them the credit to purchase this wonderful vaccine. It's just fascinating how much power everybody's grabbing from this.
Well, and how much power people are willing to cede.
Well, yeah, Australia. Another example.
Well, not just there, but here too, you know.
But I'll throw this out. This is from a meme that Ricky's a frequent commenter on over on my blog, and he noted this, or this was in the meme he sent me. The same people that took 20 years to replace the Taliban with the Taliban are now leading the fight in the war against COVID.
Spot on, Ricky.
That's, you know, it's devastating. It's devastating.
But follow the science.
Yeah! Science, bitch!
So have we COVIDed it to death? My vote is that COVID is not even remotely by itself going to make a dent in civilization. I mean, if we just hadn't done anything, we would have had much higher death rates. I mean, we'd have had millions of people dead, but we'd probably be pretty much over it by now.
Hard to say. Yeah. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah. Well, and you can't, because here's one of the things that was going to happen anyway. But just like, when the tide goes out, you get to see who wasn't wearing a swimsuit. Inflation. Now, inflation was baked in the cake because our national debt, the amount of money that we print, is essentially doubling every 8 or 9 years. So every president that shows up, I mean, if you show up with $2 trillion, by the time you're out of office 8 years later, it's going to be pretty close to $4 trillion. And now we're up to, I don't know, $30 trillion, some number that's so amazingly large that it's incomprehensible to any human alive on the planet. And that was going to happen anyway, but COVID has really thrown that out. So inflation, thoughts. Is that going to kill us?
Maybe when combined with some other stuff. I mean, we've lived with inflation for 50 plus years. It's never quite gotten out of control like other countries. But, you know, even when you look at other countries like Weimar Germany or Argentina and so forth, it didn't actually kill the country. I mean, it certainly killed their economies for a while. But, you know, Germany survived hyperinflation and went on to, attempt to take over the entire world.
Become a very strong industrial powerhouse specializing in advanced weapon systems.
Yes. I mean, inflation by itself won't do it. But again, you know, it's just another, just more weight, you know, being put on the back of the camel.
Okay. That's fair enough. That was you, the missus, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, was that audible?
You're sitting there, open a beverage. Okay. I'm not going to give you too much of a hard time because we're sitting here talking around in economics, which I know makes you want to take a drill to your own brain, right?
That's true. This is true.
What's your thought on the missus? What's your thought on inflation?
Okay, John.
You can.
Yep. You know, I don't know, because at this point, it's like we're just making it all up and printing it all up as we go along, right? So what's to say that we get to that tipping point and then we just go, oh, well, actually, it's worth this now. What would happen if we just did that, right? I don't know.
Well, here's where I think that, you know, what I'm really worried about is what we saw in the 70s of stagflation, where, you know, prices will increase, but wages will stagnate or fall. You know, I mean, right now at the bottom of the labor pool is seeing a huge increase in wages, which is translated over to inflation among, you know, for a lot of products and services like, you know, fast food. But, you know, for the rest of the people, I don't know. I mean, I'm not seeing anything that's going to indicate that I'm going to take home more money this year.
And that the old economic rule of thumb is that wages are sticky down and prices are sticky up.
Yeah. Now that could break us, because you get too much stagflation, people can't afford food, they can't afford housing, can't afford fuel, you know, and on and on and on, which makes people irritated, to say the least.
Okay, so the general consensus again, inflation isn't going to kill us. I think I would go in and say that inflation absolutely positively is going to result in a significant change of our political climate if it gets as bad as I think it's going to get. And it's mathematically going to get as bad as I think it's going to get. So I'm telling you.
And I think my suggestion might be to move to the country and learn to garden.
Yes, and eat a lot of peaches. Okay. Supply chain issues. Again, by COVID, this is again unmasking all of the failures in our systems. And you look at the computer chips from Taiwan, and you brought this up earlier, Mark. We can make all the trucks we want in the United States, but if we don't have chips to run their systems, those aren't really trucks. So supply chains, what do you think?
Well, the supply chain issues that we're seeing right now are a direct result of the response to COVID. You know, the just-in-time system that we, you know, been existing under before worked fine as long as there wasn't a major disruption to transportation and manufacture and so forth. And that's exactly what the COVID shutdowns were. So, yep. Now we're seeing that with, you know, and our whole economy had moved from, I think it was earlier mid 80s when we started to shift to just in time ordering and supply chains and so forth, and everything that's been built up since then is based on that problem. And so anyway, that's what we've seen. I mean, COVID, the response to COVID is the cause of the supply chain issues.
I'm with you there. And the thing I'll note there's also another possibility. What if it's China testing to see how vulnerable the West is by manipulating some of the inputs to our systems? I mean, what better time to conduct an experiment to see, hey, if we pull this string, what happens over there?
China.
The missus? Supply chains?
You know, here was I was sitting here thinking, hang on a second, cough button. Okay, as you guys were talking about this, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, maybe our lives have just gotten too complex. We've taken trucks, internal combustion engine, not necessarily that complicated, right? And now it's so complicated that the average person, you know, can't change parts in the own engine on the car that they drive. You know, 50, 60 years ago when my dad was a young man, that was what you did, right? As a part of being a man and taking care of things, you had to do that sort of thing.
And the average farmer could fix almost anything that was on their farm.
Right. And now, if your tractor breaks, you have to take it to the dealership because they're the only ones who can fix it. So maybe we just let our lives get a little too complicated. Someone asked me several years ago, said, you know, if you were in charge of things and you could do one thing, what would it be? And my answer was, burn down the internet.
The very thing we're using, huh?
I know. Ironic. I understand that. But, you know, I don't know. Has it made our lives better? Has it made us less stressed out, less busy? Do we spend more time with our families? I don't think so.
Wow.
Well, and God knows I spend as much time on my phone and on the internet as anyone else does, but...
No. Pugsley. Pugsley
wins in the house. Well, he's a kid, so, yeah.
That's a very good and deep thought. And so in other words, that mirrors a lot of what one certain gentleman who conducted a lot of projects from his mountain home by mailing off his various projects to various people. So are you telling us that that was your TED Talk?
It's very possible it was. I can't say I disagree with everything that he said.
All right. So supply and
chain
issues.
There's a major differences that we had clearly, but.
Supply and chain issues. Did they bring the whole thing down?
I think we just have to find a way to get around that stuff. You know, I was in the grocery store the other day, and this is both grocery stores in town because there are only two because we live in the sticks. But there was very few loaves of bread on the aisles. And we live here, where we grow wheat. Why do we not have bread on the shelves when this is where the wheat is grown? This is what I'm saying. It's so complex. We grow the wheat here. We ship it somewhere else. They grind it, make the bread, and then ship it back to us and sell it.
Yeah, I was reading about, and I want to say that these fish were caught off the coast of Chile. And then they were immediately put on a jet airliner. They were shipped to China, where they were cleaned and then turned into fish fillets and then shipped on an airplane to the United States. That's insanity.
I know.
Because you, I mean, yeah, they don't even like fish.
And maybe, what? Just maybe, we farm too much stuff out to China.
What do you think?
I will say that supply chain issues could bring everything down. You know, there's an old, I don't know if it's a poem or just a description, but, you know, it's called I Pencil.
Yep.
It talks about all the different things that go into just making a pencil. And, you know, a lot of the items in there were dependent on particular regions of the world. I mean, it didn't, you know, yeah, okay, we've got artificial rubber now, but at the time that was written, rubber only came from places where you had rubber trees and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, historically, I would note that supply chain issues may have been one of the reasons for the Bronze Age collapse, because they relied heavily on tin that was imported into the Mediterranean area, Near East, from Afghanistan. So,
yep. And if you look as the Roman Empire collapsed too, those supply chains contracted as well. Supply chains, will they bring us down? My thought is they won't bring us down, but they'll be an exacerbating factor. All right. Reserve currency status. So one of the things that's really magic about the United States is we could print on a piece of paper something with a picture of Benjamin Franklin, And then we can ship that across the world to someone in China or India or Bangladesh or Madagascar. I mean, I don't know why we would send money to Madagascar, but we could. And they would send us stuff.
Shut up and take my money.
Exactly. They take our money and then give us beautiful things like Pez, pantyhose, elephants, you know, whatever the demand is, the things that we really want. So no other nation in the world really has that privilege. I mean, to a certain extent, Europe has the euro, which they kind of print into existence. But, you know, the Russians try and print rubles all day long and people go, don't think we kind of trust you. It's kind of like when the Italians pretended to make money. But the United States dollar has had some very special status. What happens when that goes away? What happens when we just, because we don't even have to print the dollar. We just create some cryptography and say, hey, it's $100 and here's an electric $100 and I transfer my account to your account and, you know, send us the steel. What happens when that goes away?
Well, the reserve currency status is, in my opinion, why the value of the dollar has been as steady and as high a value as it has. If we lose the reserve currency status, the value of the dollar will immediately go down in international markets, and the result could well be that the United States turns into the factory for the world.
Except we don't have the stuff. I think
China didn't have the stuff, you know, back in, you know, two decades ago either, but.
I think we look like Spain. Spain, after they conquered the New World, they took in just tons and tons and tons of gold. And they brought it into Europe. They brought in so much gold, they devalued the value of gold. But what they did as a society is they outsourced all of the stuff that they didn't want to do. And so they became incredibly lazy. I mean, they would have people come into from the Netherlands to be their maids and to do their gardening and to cook their food.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly. Especially not Leroy Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins.
I'm not really even sure what that one is.
Oh, well.
What, do you want me to play it? Did you want me to play it?
Go ahead and play Leroy
Where'd
Jenkins.
Where'd it go? I missed it. Where's it at?
So anyway.
I can't organize these as well as I'd like to.
So anyway.
If I see it, I'll play it.
They brought the gold in there, and I think it destroyed Spain. In many ways as an industrious people. And I think that's where we are at right now. I think it's really, I mean, you look at millennial culture now, and I think a lot of them just want to hang back and play the video games.
Well, on vacation.
That's because they can afford the video games. If reserve currency status goes away, we won't be able to. The value of our labor will collapse compared to other countries, and over the short run that, you know, it'll be terrible, but over the longer term that I think will actually make the United States more competitive. What my fear is, though, is that the economic upheaval caused by that will result in social upheaval. And I don't know if we'd survive that, at least not in the current 50 states that we have.
The missus?
I'm sorry, I was looking at sound effects.
It's economics, and you're going.
I know, yeah.
Bueller.
I'm going. Bueller. I wonder where I should play. Anyone? The fart sound. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Yeah, my take is this brings us down. When we lose reserve currency status, which won't happen all at once, it'll happen slowly and then all at once. When that happens, the game's over because our economical collapse, and we will have so much social unrest when the free stuff goes away and our living standard goes to a third of what it is in 2021. It will be amazing. I mean, this is a group of people that, you know, a day without air conditioning is torture. Imagine with when all of a sudden all the free stuff just is gone. It'll be like junior high all over again.
Well, and not only the free stuff, but and then there's nothing in the grocery store, right?
Well, there will be, but you just won't have the money to buy it. It's going to look a lot like, again, it's going to look a lot like in India. It's going to look like a Brazil.
Or New Orleans. Where I guess they are still having problems with looting, even now.
No, well, in yes, I mean, but, you know, I heard that the hurricane went through New Orleans and cost several $1 million in improvements. So I didn't like New Orleans when I went there. If we have any Cajun listeners, I apologize. Got great food, but New Orleans itself, Cafe Ajax was okay, but yeah, I'll skip it.
It's too hot.
And it's below sea level.
And steamy and humid.
Yeah. All right. Loss of freedom in the West. We talked about Australia, but the same news is coming out of Canada. It's coming out of New Zealand. It's coming out of Great Britain. It's coming out of France, although the French appear to be fighting back. It's coming out of Germany. All of Western civilization appears to be imploding, and freedom appears to be something that is no longer much valued. So what's going on with that?
Well, that's just the left, the so-called liberals and progressives in control. You know, as soon as the socialists took over in Germany before World War II, I mean, you saw the same thing as far as the loss of freedom. Obviously, when the socialists took control in Russia during World War I, you know, that also led to a loss of freedom over the next decade. So that's just a tough form of the government. You know, will it cause the collapse? You know, I don't know. I mean, it could. You know, the Soviet economic system certainly didn't lead to it being an economic powerhouse. But, you know, on the other hand, it probably could have just slogged along for centuries. So I don't know. I don't think loss of freedom in the West is by itself would cause the collapse of civilization. I think it would just lead to a stagnation, maybe an outflow of some of the best and brightest to other countries.
Yeah, but where would they go? Where would you go? Right?
Well, China.
Kind of that would be better, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, honestly, it appears they censor their folks less than we do, so.
You know, and I've just been stunned by the mindset of folks on the left, especially in the past, I don't know, 6 months. Let's take the unvaccinated people and make sure they can't make a living or buy food. In fact, maybe we should just round them all up and put them on an island. You know, like Stalin did. And these are people who live in our country, who are our fellow Americans, who feel this way.
Well, let's not call them that. Let's not get too out of whack on that.
Nominally, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But I just find that stunning. You know, and these are the same people, and they are the same people, who between 2016 and 2020 talked about how our president at that time was destroying all the norms and destroying our democracy, right? And now here we are where they're willing to put their fellow citizens in cages because they aren't willing to do what the government tells them to do.
So does this bring us down?
You know, I don't know. Because when you look at countries like the Soviet Union, and you always have black markets that spring up, people are going to partake in economic activity regardless of what the laws are, even if they can't do it legally. That's just what happens.
Mm-hmm. It happened in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
But again,
I'm just very disappointed in my friends on the left side of the aisle because of their inability to step up and say, freedom lost for one American is freedom lost for us all. And once it's gone, you don't get it back. I don't see this ever. I don't see this, what we're in right now. I don't see it ever ending. Because the authoritarians like it. They like the power. I think they're going to hang on to it as much as they can, as much as we'll let them.
And number one, I think they'll push it too far. I think they'll overreach. And I think that will split this particular melon wide open.
Oh, hang on. I think there's someone at the front door again.
FBI, open up!
Sorry, I don't mean to get you fellas in trouble.
I agree that the freedom issue could lead to a civil war and so forth. But, you know, again, as far as the end of civilization, though, I don't think that in and of itself will be that, you know, necessarily. Now, I was looking, you know, I mean, we've been talking about the Soviet Union, but I mean, we could easily as well be talking about China in the second or third century AD, you know, and they chugged along for, you know, centuries.
And you know, when you talk about China that far back, really my only source of reference is Big Trouble in Little China. First, the sovereign emperor.
Well,
the
they
Chinese
basically
have a lot of hills.
The Chinese civilization basically stagnated after the Han Dynasty, but it just kept going. I mean, nothing really changed.
And in fact, you could say China is here, Mr. Burton.
Sorry. We can't give up hope, Jack. Okay, Wang. Let's just chew our way out.
Okay.
We have both been very distracted. Sorry, Mark.
Let's
China.
Skip along because China's next on the international breakdown. You know, Afghanistan is a sign to the world, just like when the Soviets left Afghanistan, that something was terribly broken in the Soviet Union. And they left in a dignified fashion with the general walking out in broad daylight, carrying flowers, with his back to Afghanistan, saying, "There is no Soviet soldier or officer behind me."
Oh yeah,
and when he walked up,
I'm going home.
Well, and now we have an American general who's sneaking out in the middle of the night with no lights on, so that they have to take pictures using night vision in order to capture us running away in the middle of the night out of Kabul. That's not a very, very pretty picture. And plus, we've abandoned Americans there. And, you know, then today, just today, we saw pictures of dogs walking around, emaciated dogs in the airport that we abandoned in their cages without food. You know, that's going to make some people madder than the American citizens we left behind. This vacuum. You know, Francis Fujiyama wrote about the end of history, and history is not even remotely done. Because what I see now is with the American dominance, Pax Americana, going off the stage, everything is open for discussion in the world. Everything is breaking down internationally, and it looks a lot like August 1914. What do you think, Mark?
Fujiyama's thesis was that, you know, he said it was going to be the end of history because he looked out and saw that in his opinion, that liberal democracy was a form of government that was going to spread all around the world. Of course, he was wrong. I think what we're going to see actually is the clash of civilizations. As far as Afghanistan itself, you know, it won't be a cause. It's more like a sign of the fact that, you know, it was too much overreach. I think it is representative of the moral collapse of the nation and the, you know, especially amongst the ruling elite, as well as an example of the collapse of expertise. You know, we're no longer looking at the Wizard of Oz, but the man behind the curtain event. So from a historical perspective, I look at it as what happened in Afghanistan as sort of being our equivalent of the Battle of Tuttenberg, with the Romans, where the Germans wiped out a whole legion.
Yes, Tuttenberg Forest.
Yeah, and that's, to me, that's sort of what it is. I mean, Afghanistan just sort of represented a point beyond which we couldn't spread our influence. You know, our withdrawing, you know, just means that we're not going to expand. We may see some contraction, but, you know, in and of itself, I don't, you know, it's not the end of the world. But I do think that we're going to be, we're headed towards civilizational clashes, and Afghanistan was just sort of the last gasp of the people who were trying to implement Fujiyama's future.
The missus?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck? If a woodchuck could chuck wood.
You know the story that I told you many years ago from my radio career? When I had those two guys from that band Who Shall Remain Nameless. Mm-hmm. And they came up and they wanted me to interview them like about 30 seconds before I was getting ready to go on the air. And so I was not thinking about their names when they were introduced to me. And so when I asked them their names on the air and they refused to give them to me. Mm-hmm. You're those guys right now.
International breakdown.
I was thinking about other things. International breakdown.
Does the international breakdown that we're seeing right now bring everything down?
Everything? Like zombie apocalypse everything where we're all dead?
Sure.
I don't think so. I mean, humans are a resilient bunch.
Well, not everyone dead zombie apocalypse, but, you know.
Well, you know, kind of the fossil record tends to show that there was a time in the history of humanity that there were maybe only a few thousand of us on the face of the planet, and we did almost die out. But we didn't, and here we are, a big, happy 8 billion of us.
I honestly think that this brings out a hugely dangerous moment in human history, because we have multiple nuclear armed countries who have the ability to create devastation like never seen before. And yet probably more reason to use it, because we live in a much more chaotic world.
I have sound for that too.
Tactical nuke incoming!
I could read by the warm glow of my dog.
So what good would an alarm be for a tactical nuke? I mean, duck and cover. Get under the desk. I'm sorry. So I'm saying right now we have a 1914 kind of feel. And we have a place where we could go blindly streaming very quickly into disaster because a perceived weaknesses. China decides it's time to tie one on, and Russia decides we can keep moving whichever direction we want to. I mean, and Iran decides that they like to make their oil more valuable by destroying the Saudi ports. It could be done very quickly.
Well, all things right. could get very interesting.
Well, but things are getting very interesting because right now we are at an all-time high for illegal aliens streaming into the country. And it's not just illegal immigration. It's also just immigration in general. 17% of the people in the United States weren't born here. 17%. Some, I assume, are nice people. But how many can we take in before the United States ceases to be the United States? And we're seeing the same thing in, again, Western countries across the world. 20%+ of Sweden. You can look very soon at pretty soon native English stock within the next 30 years will cease to be a majority in England.
Well, you know, I was listening the other night to someone talking about the countries who are taking in Afghan refugees, and they were Britain, Australia, the U.S., some more Western European countries. A lot of big countries who have the room and the means to do it, suspiciously not on that list. And I was listening to that thinking, why is it always the responsibility of the Western and English-speaking countries to open up our doors? And it's not just Afghanistan. I mean, you know, we kind of own that because that was our deal. But any place.
Well, so here's an interesting statistic for you. How many naturalized citizens are there in China in any given year?
Probably not a whole lot.
Less than 5,000.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, I mean, that just tells you right there. And
the FBI again upstairs.
I hear that. So immigration has... there's not been a point where you have a great degree of peoples coming together where there isn't a tremendous amount of conflict. You see it again and again historically. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, immigration is sort of an interesting issue because we could have shut down immigration whenever we wanted to. I mean, the United States did it in the 1920s. All the way until 1965 when the borders were opened up. So looking at the root causes, I've gone on this about this before, but you know, the industrialized nations, both in the East and the West, are looking at depopulation because people simply aren't reproducing at the rates they used to be. And so there's a couple different ways that countries have approached it. In the West, the liberal viewpoint has been that the citizens are just economic widgets that can be replaced as needed. And so the idea was that they can allow a lot of third world immigration in there and make up for the lack of births. China and Japan and some other countries have taken the opposite tact of, well, I don't know what China's going to do, but what Japan did was essentially they decided they weren't going to import a bunch of people. They were going to try to come up with robotics and AI and basically just, you know, try to invent their way out of the problem. Not to get too far off topic, you know, immigration and depopulation absolutely will bring down civilization. And again, the Western Roman Empire was a perfect example of that. They were also facing slow depopulation as their fecundity rate declined, and so they brought in all these different barbarian tribes. And when the barbarians realized that there was nothing to stop them from doing whatever they wanted, that was it.
Mrs.?
Well, in order to have a cohesive society, we have to share certain things. And one of those things is that we have to share stories, and we have to agree on what those stories mean. And I don't know that at this point, even people who are, you know, citizens and who have lived here all their lives and their family's been citizens for generations, on the left and the right, I don't even know that we share that anymore. And it's hard and to have. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, so this is bringing us down, because you're heading right into my next topic, actually.
You know, of things that I think would do it, that's it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely can. Because the next thing is the loss of social cohesion. And I'm going to, I had two for my next, but, you know, these kind of are so connected that loss of social cohesion and increased polarity. We are seeing that again and again. Between 1990 and 2017, you can see that the right more or less stayed in the same place. The left moved far to the left.
Well, the right moved to the left too.
No. This particular Pew survey, the right kind of stayed in the same place. And maybe moved a little bit actually to the right, but the left moved far, far to the left. So we have increased polarity, but there's also social cohesion. You look at the number of people not going to church anymore. You look at the number of people who are members of a community only because they live there and they'll be there a year or two and then they're off to the next place. You know, the nameless, faceless suburbs.
And I think a lot of it is the loss of faith in our institutions. You mentioned religion. That's a biggie.
Absolutely.
I mean, what institutions do we actually look up to and trust anymore? I would have said prior to 2020 that, you know, our government agencies that, like the CDC, the NIH, that probably a lot of people trusted those. But now, and not to bring this back to COVID, but I think I've said to you many times, and we've talked about this just in private, you know, how many times do you get to lie to me before I stop listening?
I've lied to you so many times. Oh, wait.
I'm sorry,
Mark.
What
do you think?
What'd you say?
Well, you know, social, unfortunately, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record. The social cohesion issue is also one of immigration. You know, Robert Putnam, when he did his research that ended up eventually going into his book, Bowling Alone, noted that the more diversity that you saw in a community, the less social cohesion and social capital was in that community. And you know,
I thought diversity was our strength.
Yeah, no, diversity is diversity is like a hidden crack in a support column, or you know.
You're telling me all those bumper stickers are wrong?
An anvil pounded into the middle of a tree, and you know, so that's, yeah, they're completely wrong. They're just, you know, leftists, just all they care about is feeling good about themselves and showing other people that they're better than them. And so yeah, those bumper stickers are all lies.
Well, and it used to be that we used to, like I said, have things in common with the left. I think we all used to agree that freedom of speech was a really important thing. Now, not so much. I mean, we're on YouTube right now, but how long is that going to last?
No,
especially
I know.
The things people, I've been saying.
people could hardly stand living. Those two groups, the left and the right, just can't stand each other anymore. You know, I'm even seeing in my church, you know, I mean, the LDS church has always had this reputation of being very cliquish and stuff. And I'll be honest, I've never seen so much of a, you know, a breakdown and two different sides popping up. just because of the, you know, following that trend of the, you know, people going more, especially on the left, you know, just going more and more left.
Mm. Yep. And we're seeing that. So Mark, does it bring us down?
It definitely does. I mean, because it's all tied in with, like I said, with the immigration and with, you know, potential for civil war and everything else. So yeah, it can.
And honestly, I think the most places where you see atrocities, the worst wars are civil wars, right? Where you have brother against brother.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. You know, when you look at leftists, they want to see the right burn. Literally.
They want to put us in camps and starve us to death. I told you I've seen these comments. I've seen these comments in the comment section of the Wall Street Journal.
So the missus, does this bring us down?
You know, this might be the thing that does.
All right. Next two on the list. I'm again coupling these two together. Demoralization. That's that we've given up. As well as moral collapse, meaning the country no longer has a moral center. I think, you know, again, in 1990, certainly our mores were different than in 1890, but they, in 1990, they don't even remotely resemble the public mores of today. We have gone so far in 20 years as to, again, I hate to mention Weimar Germany again, but it looks to be so decadent and degenerate that it's frightening. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I'm gonna sort of address them a little sort of separately. You know, the left right now is trying to demoralize the right. You know, they're eliminating any public expression of religion. They are, you know, if you're a white male, everything on TV tells you that you are a racist pig. You know, I know that I'm not the only person that's noticed that the people that are in our commercials and television programs are now well in excess of 50% of them are a population that only makes up 13% of the American population. So, I mean, they're not even trying to reflect the racial makeup of the country any longer. I mean, it's all in right now to demoralize white Christians.
And Mrs.
I don't think Mark was done.
I know, I talked right over him.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like it's purposeful too, doesn't it? It seems Absolutely. Like everything that happens is designed to divide us. Yeah, I was reading today about House Democrats subpoenaing phone records and not only, you know, text messages, but like any voicemails and voice recordings from House Republicans. And of course, this is back to the whole January 6th thing, right? What the hell? You know? Talk about breaking your norms, and yet all the people who, again, were caterwauling for 4 years... Dead silence. Where's the outcry?
Absolutely. And again, I think moral collapse is, to me, it's especially frightening because one of the things that we have seen is that society as a whole develops structures to create stability. And we created that stability through morality. And morality acted as something above and beyond the law. The law existed to punish, but morality was a guide to daily behavior. And now that we have no shared morality.
Well, because we agreed on what morality was, because we all shared the stories that told us how to be moral people.
Exactly. And the stories and the myths, you know, even beyond religion.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. Not just religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now those stories are just white supremacy.
Well, yes, you know, George Washington and the cherry tree. I'm sure the cherry tree was cut down because of slavery. It's a metaphor, right? And so I look at it and I go, it's very difficult, very, very difficult to see how we live in a country like this with zero morality and also in a demoralized fashion.
Well, I don't think we have zero morality, but I do think our morality has shifted, and things that once were not thought of as being moral, those things are now the things that are things you shouldn't do. They're bad. And things that were bad, that's fine.
Yeah, bang whoever you want.
Bang away. Who cares? Right?
Well, you know, it's
an inversion of values. Mm-hmm. And I hate to pull my church light hat. And who likes to invert values? Could it be? Could it be?
Could it be? Satan? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting on the moral issue. I mean, if from a historical perspective, it's very cyclical. I mean, you know, a lot of the, you know, things that we consider really immoral and, you know, horrified that it's happening now. I mean, it's happened before. In the late 1800s, early 1900s, up through the 1920s, there was the free love movement, which, you know, resurrected itself from its gory grave in the 1960s, and things were pretty bad. And then you saw, with Reagan having become president, there seemed to be a little bit of trying to regain morality again. And then, now we're seeing another collapse of it. So,
well, you know, and not to pick on the Mormon church here, Mark, but, you know, this has kind of come up in the past 20 years, too, is that this resurgence of picking on the Mormons for the polygamy thing, right? And how terrible and immoral that is. And yet, at the same time, you've got some guy standing down in the street corner who's got 10 children with 10 different women, and that's fine.
Well, and they're openly talking about polyamory.
Right. Well, yeah, that's hypocrisy on their part.
So I'm gonna move us along because does this bring us down, Mark?
Oh crud! This is we've been here for almost an hour. All right. Do you have anything else on your list?
I have one more item. One more item.
Lay it on us.
Okay. Does it bring it down? Does it bring us down, Mark?
I'm sorry.
Does this bring us down?
What?
Does this bring us down?
Demoralization, moral collapse?
By itself, just looking historically, I'll say no, but it's often a sign of other issues. And I'll just loosely tie it in with immigration. It's a little bit not quite on that, but I think it is just sort of a sign of a society that's sick of itself.
The missus?
Well, yeah. Well, how do you destroy a culture? You take away all of their institutions and give them nothing to believe in.
And I believe that it also brings us down. And I've just got two words for you. Mouse utopia. All right.
Mouse utopia?
Yes.
Is that like horse brutality?
Horse brutality. Look it up. Just Google mouse utopia.
All right.
And I've done a wonderful piece on it on my blog.
I never read blogs.
I know you don't. The last thing I have on the list, water. From Colorado to the Ogallala, it seems like water is in really short supply. The Colorado River feeds Arizona and California and even into Mexico. The Ogallala Aquifer feeds the western parts of Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Now, the Colorado River has experienced drought before in a mega sense. I mean, it's lasted for hundreds of years. Just ask the Anasazi. But the Ogallala, from a strategic standpoint, that water is pumped out and it's used to create a tremendous amount of food in the United States, and it recharges on the order of tens of thousands of years.
That's water. It. Time to start chipping icebergs off and hauling them down here.
Yeah. So water, does that bring us down? Mark?
Yes. Yes, there's plenty of historical analogies you could look at. Water not only determines whether an area is inhabitable, but it also, lack of water can also lead to substantial warfare, out immigration, and so forth. So yeah, I'd say water's a huge issue.
Famine. The missus?
Famine? Is that what you're asking me about?
Water. I'm asking you about water. Does it bring us down, lack of water?
Oh, well, yeah, it certainly would. Things that you have to live, you know, need to live.
All right. So I guess mathematically we've considered that.
Solved all the problems. Live. There we go. We're done.
We've solved all the problems. Well, you know, it's just pointing out that we live in some incredibly perilous times. I never would have picked bringing these arguments up even as late as 20 years ago. But now here it is. We sit on this.
Even 5 years ago.
Yeah, that we sit on this precipice. I mean, it's we're looking down, and it's a very steep drop.
It feels like we're on a train and barreling toward the cliff.
Well, if I can interject, I think we're actually already in collapse.
I agree.
And that's why we keep Mark around, because he's our ray of sunshine when things are bleak.
I'm serious. I think we're in collapse, and we just don't, you know, speaking of the population as a whole, we don't see it because of the, you know, same thing in the forest. Can't see the forest for the trees.
Indeed. And that's what happened back to that one wandering Roman legion when the Germans gave them a little bit of what for. And I do think we are absolutely correct there. Well, how has this one been, guys?
I think it was good.
All right. Well,
talking.
I think.
All right. Are we ready to wrap it up here?
I think you're ready to play.
All right. Here we go.
Maybe. Well, on that note, we'll be back next week with another edition of Bombs and Bants. And thank you for listening. I'm John.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the missus.
Take care.
Y'all come back now, you hear?